better off. Hello. Hello, Mets fans, and welcome to episode 4 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig.
I'm Maggie Wiggin.
And I'm Linda Sarovich.
And this is a show where the women of Amazing Avenue talk to you about all things Mets and talk about various social justice issues in baseball. This week, the Mets are currently winning again. Yay! So things are going well currently in this series, but last week was not so great. They dropped 2 series in a row. There was a DeGrom scare. There remains pitching problems, partially as a result of that, but, you know, not entirely as a result of that. So we have a whole host of things to talk about. The name of which, namely, is the DeGrom injury and how the Mets handled it, which was kind of strange, to say the
least. Well, it was strange unless you're a Mets fan. Then it felt very normal. Cozy and familiar. Like, I've read this book before. I don't really want to read it again, but I guess I am, so.
It was a crazy emotional roller coaster, though, because at first it was like, oh no, doom, 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 and I, like, freaked the hell out. And then it was like, oh, you know what? They're just being cautious for once. This is good. This is a change from what I expected. Like, this doesn't seem like...
We're not actually going to be cautious.
And then it's like, just kidding. He's not going to get an MRI, and he's going to throw 2 times. And we're just like, what? What?
Also, as Mets fans, we're just preconditioned to expect the worst. Like, nothing... When does good news ever happen? Like, when do we get good news regarding injuries? Like, that's just a weird feeling that it kind of seems... Like, I still don't believe it until I actually see him on the mound that he's okay, but it seems like that he is.
Right.
Well, and then also, it did that Mets thing where it started as something completely unrelated. It was like,
yeah,
strep, right? I mean, yeah. this is ridiculous. It's a week ago, and I legit have already lost track of the myriad layers this ridiculousness has contained. But as I recall, first it was strep, and then it was Jacob DeGrom's elbow might explode. And then it was, no, he's really fine. It's just again, you're like saying abundance of precaution. And then it was, oh no, he's out throwing like in the rain or whatever. And
in
then
full uniform, like 4
yeah,
hours
like,
before
he might, you know what? He might not need an MRI. And then
he got one.
I missed the step where they even decided to get him one. It was just like, oh, by the way, last week or like yesterday, Jacob DeGrom got an MRI and it was clean. So, lol. But then still, it's a clean MRI. Anything about activating him? I have not heard that. Have you heard that?
The plan is still Friday.
Okay.
Friday, yeah.
But it's supposed
to rain yet again.
Oh, good Lord.
It's rained.
They said that, Friday is when he is first eligible to come off the injured list, and the Mets say they plan for him to spend the minimum amount of time on the injured list, so therefore one infers that Friday is the planned start. However...
Well, I'm going on Sunday to celebrate my birthday, so... we will have to do a quick Potter date, but also,
yes.
I think the polite thing to do would be for them to activate him for Sunday's game. I'm just saying.
I absolutely agree. I am on board with that plan 100%.
As much as I support my co-hosts, I am the Friday recapper for Amazing Avenue, so I would be really happy if Friday was the plan, because then my recap night would be a DeGrom start. But, you know.
Didn't you get Vargas last time?
Oh, I sure did. But they won.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That was like Alterna Vargas, who was still not all that good.
No, it was 4 innings.
He was getting hit hard.
It was 4 innings, but they won anyway. And that kind of, you know, is a seamless transition to the other thing that we, you know, want to talk about, which is the fact that none of our pitchers, although, you know, Zach Wheeler's currently going okay, knock on wood, as we record this.
Now called a podcast of Zach Wheeler's own, because he has earned it with a lot. I mean, I'm not going to rattle down his list of current accomplishments, but it's been a day.
# pitchers who rake.
Yeah.
We on a pod of their own are anti-designated hitter. So Anyway.
Unapologetically so, too.
Yes, unapologetically anti-designated hitter. But, you know, at knock on wood, Zach Wheeler's going pretty well right now as we record this on Tuesday night, April 23rd. And Steven Matz did pretty well the night before. But, you know, before that, our pitchers had been struggling to go deep into games, including Vargas, including, you know, guys who were pitching in DeGrom's stead that shouldn't be pitching, and, you know, the Corey Oswalt's, Chris Flexen's of the world, etc. The last Steven Matz start, he got bonked after not recording an out. So the bullpen has been exceedingly taxed, and so the Mets have had to cycle through the carousel of guys from last season that we know are ineffective, and we constantly have to deal with having a short bench because we're always needing the extra pitcher.
And I think this is the first time in like a week and a half that they've actually had a full contingent of bench players.
They don't even, because Ahmed Rosario is still sick.
Oh, wait, well,
And Nimmo left the game, too.
Left the game.
All right, let me...
Just kidding!
4 hours ago.
Before the game started.
Well, look, I mean, we can't go around and expect a major league team to actually take care of its players in any kind of reasonable fashion. So this is... But they finally had a, you know, quote, correct number of roster spots for their position players, because they've had to carry an extra pitcher for so long now. It's been like the flexing go round of, you know, whoever has a sub 4 ERA in AAA is you're up next. So it's been a nasty bench situation for a while. And certainly if they're carrying around a semi injured Nimmo for God knows how long, that will probably not change.
He won't play for 2 days. They won't put him on the injured list. He'll take a pinch hitting appearance and then he'll go on the injured list so they can't backdate it. That is the Mets way.
Of course. And also there's still that sickness going around. Like now apparently Syndergaard was sick too.
Yeah, what the heck? Like the Mets have the plague this year. Last year was hand, foot, and mouth disease, and this year they have
your hands, people.
And keep your hands away from your face.
Good lord. This year they have like plague strep throat. Like
strep throat that won't die.
Yeah. Like, and it's been
strep
such a
throat should not be traveling like wildfire among adults, I have to say. Like, seriously, these guys are not washing their hands. Wash your hands.
And for this is long
strep.
Too.
It's not like measles or something. Just wash your hands.
It's not like 1 week there were 3 guys sick and then it went away. It's been like a new guy every week for like a month.
Yeah. Because like it was since spring.
Yeah, because it was like Nimmo was sick, not just with the chicken mysteries, not just that. He was like actually also sick besides that, if I recall, like late in spring. And then it was Seth Lugo, or as I was calling it at the time, Seth Flugo. And they kept pitching him anyway. And then it was Justin Wilson. And then it was Agram. And now it's Syndergaard and Rosario.
And Med Rosario.
Yep. Cool, guys. Wash your damn hands.
And they all played while they were sick.
Yep,
Med definitely did. Wilson, I think, definitely did. DeGrom definitely did.
They all got their little streppy droplets all over the ball.
Gross. And yeah, and they're constantly like blowing into their hands and then touching the ball. Ew. Oh, gross. Yeah.
And there's everybody in the crowd like fighting over the germy balls.
Like, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, both of whom are in all day preschool daycare situations, and I don't get sick as much as the Mets find a way to. Like, jeepers, guys. Come on. Take some vitamin C.
Yeah.
Get some sun. This is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, guys. Come on. All right, get it together.
And they're like, they're on the bus and they're in close quarters and
like for once, I mean, not to say we have no injuries. Like, we have had injuries. Todd Frazier's finally back. Jed Lowrie remains on the injured list, and it seems like his recovery is going slower than people anticipated, although he is supposed to begin rehab assignments in, like, 2 weeks, I think.
Justin Wilson has some sort of a random tweak that just feels like that kind of thing where he's going to come back in, like, late August.
Yeah, elbow
even though it's
soreness.
It's like, oh, it's absolutely nothing. He'll be on for the minimum. No. We will, by the time we see him again, we will have forgotten that he was on the Mets.
Oh, he's this year's sore, Zach, no doubt.
Yeah, like, the Mets are confident he'll spend the minimum on the injured list, and then it's, like, 3 weeks later, and one of the beat writers is like, isn't Justin Wilson on the Mets? And then the Mets will be like, oh, and let's talk about Robinson Cano's hot streak, and they just ignore it and pretend that that never happened. So right now the latest carousel of relief pitchers that's up is, in case you're keeping track at home, kids, it's Daniel Zamora is currently on the team, and so is Paul Sewald. Paul Sewald got sent down. See, I can't even keep track. It's Jacob Rehm. Jacob Rehm.
I remembered Rehm. Zamora was news to me. And I sit here and I read Twitter all day, every day, as a life. And yet, I could not even have told you, gun to my head, that Daniel Zamora is on this team right now.
He sure is.
And is Flexen back down?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because was he the move for Frazier?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought so. He was part of all of those moves because Frazier got activated at the same time Flexen and Sewald both went down. Guillorme came up as well because they didn't have a shortstop because Ahmed Rosario was sick. So those were like all the moves, yes.
And that's what brought the bench back to its standard current state size.
Yes. And Jacob Rehm somehow survived all of this, which is perplexing to me. I mean, not that it really matters. It's with all of these relievers, it's kind of six in one half dozen the other at this point. But I would have kept Sewald and sent Rehm down personally.
Yeah.
Because at least Sewald is effective like one out of every three times he pitches. And B, I think that he has more of a capability to go multiple innings in an outing than Rehm does. And that's kind of what we need to prioritize in this bullpen. But, you know, like I said, kind of splitting hairs at this point with the back end of this bullpen. Like, you know.
And if we had starting pitching, you wouldn't have to rely on.
All right. Well, I would have.
Front end of the bullpen.
Did say last week that it probably wasn't going to get too much worse than it already was. And it hasn't really.
No.
It's, you know, it's we've gotten now two reasonable starts in a row. And Syndergaard probably would have been fine if he didn't have the death plague.
Sorry. What happened? Todd might have just hit a grand slam. Yep, grand slam, Todd.
Oh, in play no outs, in play no outs, in play runs.
There we go. I would say I always love it on a kind of an emotional level especially if you're a position player and the guy in front of you gets intentionally walked. That has got to sting. Yeah. That has got to just not sit right. And so I always appreciate when that guy gets to do something. Because, man, you embarrassed him. That's not cool.
Like, I'm going to make you pay for that.
Yep. Yep. It's
and
great.
He did.
Yeah, way great. To go, Todd. Up that trade value.
Right?
There he is, my man. My New Jersey man.
Oh, is Todd Frazier from New Jersey?
Oh, really? This is news, breaking news, exclusive news from a pod of their own. Todd Frazier is from New Jersey.
Wow.
Hashtag exclusive.
Hashtag exclusive. Hashtag breaking. So, as we were saying, kind of lost the thread. As we were saying, the bullpen wouldn't be so taxed if there were better starting pitching available that we can turn to. I wonder who's a free agent right now that the Mets could sign for very cheap. It's Gio Gonzalez, who the Mets are, as of today, Anthony DiComo tweeted that the Mets are, quote, skeptical of Gio Gonzalez, which is
they're doing that thing where they express kidding me? The absolute bare minimum of interest in an available player. And there's just not a chance in hell they're actually going to sign him. But, why? What is the reason to not go out? Like, I'm sorry. Jason Vargas is not a good baseball player. Like, he is just, if you need to have him in your bullpen or whatever, if you absolutely cannot eat that money, okay. But I don't know how you can look at that guy and expect him to do anything other than give you, at best, four mediocre innings every 5 days. It's just, it's crazy.
Like, our own Chris tweeted, I'm skeptical about the Mets' seriousness about trying to win. Like,
boy howdy.
Yeah. Like, Jason, I think Gio Gonzalez is, 3 years younger than Jason Vargas, too? Like, the upside is still there with him, okay? He might not be, Jacob DeGrom, but you're not asking him to be. You're asking him to be the fifth starter. That's all.
And Gio Gonzalez has also been basically a major league average pitcher every year for like a decade. And that is not, that's not like a sexy qualification, but it's really hard to be a major league average pitcher. And to be able to do that consistently, it's wild that he's not on a baseball team right now. Like,
and
he's,
to never be injured while doing it. He has basically never been injured. And, like, Lord knows.
I mean, don't worry. The Mets will take care of that.
But Lord knows that is something the Mets could use. Simple durability in the rotation. We have many injury questions in this rotation. Like, we've already seen it a little bit. Like, we've gotten lucky and we've, like we've escaped the worst of it. So far,
it's just,
but
such an easy upgrade. It's right there.
Very simple. And like the fact that it's so simple and the fact that it's so obvious to so many people, including the Mets, mind you, trust me, they know it's obvious. There is no explanation to me that makes sense other than Jason Vargas is a CAA client. This is where
I
these
saw
things
that
become
earlier.
A problem.
But now so is Gio Gonzalez.
Yes, so is Gio Gonzalez now. But the thing is Brody Van Wagenen negotiated Jason Vargas' contract. Guess who else's contract he negotiated? Todd Frazier's. Now, I like Todd Frazier. Like we said, we're very pro-Todd Frazier on this podcast. We're happy about him. And he just hit a grand slam. So, you know, I'm not trying to, like, say he's not a useful piece for this team. Because he absolutely is. He makes the team deeper and he makes the team better. But guess why he is automatically installed as the everyday starting third baseman without question? You know, these are things to keep an eye on. I'm not saying it's, like, absolutely true that this is why these things are happening, but it's suspicious is what I'm going to say.
Because, like, why is this the one thing they're being picky about? Like, last year they had no problem picking up Joey Bats and Chris Beck, but now you're being picky about Gio Gonzalez, who can actually help you way more than those guys could. And, like, you basically weren't competing last year, and you were okay picking up Jose Bautista and Austin Jackson. But now you're saying
they also
competing.
Cost them the minimum. And yeah, I don't think Gio is going to cost the minimum because other teams are interested because he's a
helpful.
Good pitcher to have. Like, that's just, it's, and the argument has been made with some of the guys who are still available as free agents right now that they won't be ready in time. Gio's been playing in professional games all season. Like, he's going to need, like, maybe you throw him once in Syracuse just to tune him up, but, like, maybe not even that. It's, I don't know, it is just wild to me that the Mets are like, nah.
Shrug.
And to use the word skeptical is, like what, it, like, you, they need to explain to me what exactly they are skeptical of. But, like, are you skeptical of his last year's performance? Are you skeptical of his spring training success, expanded spring training success that he had? He was rough in the early going, but he wasn't ready. And then once he, you know, got into the swing of things, he was fairly good. Like, but the thing is, like, what is there to be skeptical of? These are pretty much his career norms that he put up last year. I don't understand. Like,
yeah, this is, like, he's not an ace, but he's always been this, like, middle of the road, like, 180 innings, 3.842 kind of ERA guy, like, 2 WAR year in and year out, and that's fine.
That's very fine for the fifth starting
position. That would
position.
Be wonderful if the Mets. Yeah.
Like, what is there to be skeptical of exactly? We have a pretty large sample size of Gio Gonzalez at this point, and he's been in the Mets division for many years. We know what he is. And I mean, I'm not going to use his City Field ERA as like evidence. That's nonsense.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
But we know exactly what Gio Gonzalez is, so I just don't understand using the word skeptical to describe it. Like, what are you skeptical of? Someone needs to explain this to me.
Yeah, show your work, Mets, on that one.
Yeah, like, I want to know what, like, obviously they're not going to tell us, but I want to know what their internal metrics are telling them that, like, the publicly available data is not telling
us. It's the dollar sign.
Very skeptical of the dollar sign.
Statistic that's questionable for them. Well, it's like they said before, I think they were talking more about Kimbrel at the time, but like they were saying that, you know, if they were to make an addition now, they might not be able to in the middle of the season. It's like, well, what would be better? An upgrade for 3 months or an upgrade for 5 months? Like,
yeah.
What are you... what are you saving for? That doesn't make any sense. It's like,
and do you want to be out of it by July? Like, there's no guarantees you're even going to be like, we saw last week. You're taking a risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jacob DeGrom got hurt and you're stuck with Vargas and Flexen back to back. So you're lucky Vargas squeaked out a win, or else that would have been a complete disaster last weekend.
And if you're sitting around until the trade deadline, then not only are you paying money, but you're also paying prospects.
Yep. And they spent time talking about Yoenis Cespedes as the ultimate trade deadline acquisition for when he comes back. So if you're really viewing it that way, you're already getting that anyway. So what do you need additional upgrades for when you can just do them now? Like,
oh, don't worry, there will not be additional upgrades.
Yeah, like, good Lord. And like, yeah, they say this stuff and then they're not going to do this now. And then it's going to come July and they'll maybe be like 2 games out or whatever. I hope that they're 2 games out in July. That would be great. And like, they're like, we don't have the payroll flexibility. Oh, good Lord.
Well, and also, like, we've mentioned this another time, everybody has the same issue. Like, The Phillies have issues, the Braves have issues, the Nationals have issues, and the Nationals might have bigger issues if Scherzer's hurt. But
like, this, we just lit so up Zach Eflin. Like,
yes, you could put yourself miles ahead by just making one simple move. Like, it's so frustrating sometimes being a fan of this team, because you just feel like banging your head against the wall because it's the same thing over and over.
And like, yeah, and they like, and they had the chance to do this all offseason and they screwed up by not making the one last obvious move that it would have taken to make this a complete roster. But now they even have it handed to them on a silver platter that they can still make that move on April 23rd, and they will not. And it's infuriating.
Yeah, like, when, how often do you get a second chance? And
you don't.
They're getting one and they're still not pouncing on it.
Yeah.
Wilmer Flores begs to disagree, but okay.
Oh, Wilmer.
Oh, man. That was right in the heart. Damn.
That was.
That cut deep. That cut deep.
It did. Oh, Harper just popped up to the catcher.
Oh, it's a shame.
Oh, hate so sad.
You hate to see it.
Hate to see it. All right. Anyway. When we come back, we will talk about our baseball segment for the week, which can be summarized best as, why doesn't Major League Baseball want us to watch baseball? So stay tuned for that when we get back.
Hey, everybody. I'm Neil I. Patel, editor-in-chief of The Verge, and this is The Vergecast. Vergecast is the flagship podcast of The Verge. Every week, we cover the latest in tech news and reviews. We take a critical look at what is going on now and next in the world of tech. The show is hosted by me, our executive editor, Dieter Bohn.
Not your friend.
And Paul Miller.
It just feels like there's something wrong with all computers, though. Don't you think that sometimes?
We do that on Fridays. And on Tuesdays, we have an interview episode. I've been talking to all kinds of influential people in and around the world of tech. We talked to Microsoft founder Bill Gates about his philanthropic efforts.
You can design systems without having to reveal any individual's particular medical record.
Journalists and academics like Lena Khan, who thinks that we should be doing way more to break up giant companies like Amazon and Facebook.
I think in hindsight, allowing Facebook to buy up both WhatsApp and Instagram proved to have been the wrong call.
And we talked to tech CEOs like Vizio's Bill Baxter, who explained exactly how smart TV manufacturers make their money.
It's about post-purchase monetization of the TV.
It's ads. Check us out every Friday to hear about everything in tech, from new iPhone leaks to breaking down Facebook's ongoing issues of privacy to just me and Paul ranting at each other about the role of the government. And check us out on Tuesdays when I host the interview episode. Subscribe to The Vergecast wherever podcasts are served. We'll see you then.
And we're back. Now we're going to talk about various issues with access to content, baseball content. Which can be best summarized, like I said, going into the break. Why doesn't Major League Baseball want us to watch baseball?
I want to watch baseball. Do you want to watch baseball?
Yeah, I'm watching baseball currently.
Well, that kind of kills our argument, Linda. So.
Well, I don't have MLB.TV.
I was going to say, well, Linda happens to live...
And why would you, when you can't watch any of your own teams?
Linda happens to live in the viewing area of SNY. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if she had MLB.TV, she would be blacked out of her favorite baseball team. I happen to live not in the viewing area of SNY. I live in Baltimore, Maryland. So I watch all my Mets games via MLB.TV. However, I am blacked out of two baseball teams. I am blacked out of both the Orioles and the Nationals, which is very frustrating because the Nationals are in division. So I am blacked out of 19 or so games a year, which included, for me this year, both opening day and the home opener. I was blacked out of both of those. And as a diehard fan, that's really frustrating to me because the Masson booth is terrible. Like, the worst in baseball. And I can't, that's a whole side tangent I'm not going to go into on this podcast. But suffice it to say that, you know, the whole idea is that you can watch, you know, the teams that you're blacked out of on cable packages, but actually that's not always true. For me, for example, because the Orioles and the Nationals have, you know, a very complicated relationship with the Masson TV network that would also take a whole pod to explain that I'm not going to explain. There are two channels. There's Masson and Masson 2. Whatever team is home at any given time is the team that's on Masson. In order to get both Masson and Masson 2, you have to have like an upgraded cable package. So I have an entirely upgraded cable package just to watch Nationals games because I'm blacked out of them. Do you know how much money that costs me? It's an absurd amount of money and it's really dumb and I'm dumb to pay it, but I do because I'm a shill.
Well, Los Angeles had a similar problem for a while that I think is finally resolved. But as I recall, there were actually many games that just were not available for them on cable at all.
Yes.
And there's also, this is all very regional. Like, not that I'm saying it's good that a high quality and expensive video streaming product is not available for one's home teams, but at least you live in Baltimore, you cannot watch Baltimore games or DC games that are like 20 minutes away. But then you have places like Iowa. What baseball team is in Iowa, you might ask? And the answer is none. And yet somehow they find a way to black out, what was it, 35% of the games, I believe, the number?
It's like five teams that are blacked out.
And Vegas, too, is another one that blacks out, like, a ridiculous quantity of games. And it's just, like, poor suckers in Iowa sitting there and, like, not able to watch. Whose games? Probably all of Chicago?
I have the list here for you.
Okay.
So it's both Chicago teams. It's the Cubs and the White Sox. It's St. Louis, so it's the Cardinals. It is the Kansas City Royals, the Minnesota Twins, and the Milwaukee Brewers. So those are all teams.
That is a lot of teams.
That people in Iowa cannot watch. If I am a person that lives in Iowa, why in the heck would I ever buy MLB.TV? The answer is I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's a waste.
It's a total waste of money to buy that when you blacked out of five teams. And Southern Nevada, which includes Las Vegas, is the second worst, you know, region. And they also are blacked out of five teams, which is the San Diego Padres, the Los Angeles Angels, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Oakland A's, the San Francisco Giants, and the Arizona Diamondbacks.
And it's crazy because, like I said, this is a really good package that they have. Like, MLB TV is awesome. It's really good. I have had it, you know, with the blackouts. I don't have it now because I cannot afford to have this awesome thing around to watch old Mets games and other teams games without actual like new live Mets games. But like, it's a really well designed system. I always had really good picture quality. Like, it's a good product, and I would be so happy to get to give them my money instead of paying like basically triple for Hulu Live, which is still half of what it would be if I was getting cable.
Yeah. And I mean, there are a couple of, you know, reasonable solutions that aren't, you know, give people free access to their home teams in MLB.TV in their viewing areas and remove all blackout restrictions, which would be the ideal. But let's be pragmatic about this. That's not going to happen because the cable companies pay Major League Baseball for this, and the networks pay to have their, you know, exclusivity on there. So there's too much money involved. It's never going to happen. But there are a couple of solutions that would be like practical, but they're still never going to do them, which is, A, you could slowly pare down the radius of each team's territory, right? Like, you don't have to have Iowa that has all five of these teams that you can't watch. You can slowly, like narrow the circle so that it's just, you know, really the fans of that team only. Like, for me, it would be just the Orioles. And I actually wouldn't be blacked out of D.C. because that's an hour away or whatever. You know, that's one solution that they're not going to do. Another solution, which was, you know, proposed by Jeremy Frank, who runs MLB Random Stats, he tweeted this. He tweeted at a table, and that's where I was reading the blackout teams from, so credit to him for that. He basically, like, tweeted at a table with all of the, you know, regions that have, like, three or more teams that they're blacked out of, and the percentage of games they are blacked out of in total, and he adjusted the price of MLB.TV accordingly. So MLB.TV is $120 a season, which is actually a pretty good deal if you think about it. If you get all the games, it's actually a pretty good deal because, you know, you're getting 162 games times the number of teams there are, but minus the number of teams that you're blacked out of. So he adjusted the price based on the percentage of games that people are blacked out of. So, for example, Iowa, which is the most egregious example of this, is blacked out of 35% of the games. Therefore, the fair price of MLB.TV for Iowa would be $77.62.
Well, they could also, which is a big difference.
Yes.
And they could do it the other way around, where, you know, you could have your standard MLB TV exactly as it currently is for $120 a season. You could have, like, I don't know, call it like MLB TV Gold, and it's $200 a season, and it includes non-blacked out games. Like, it's the thing that they're losing here is the young viewers who increasingly don't have cable because cable is bullshit. And want to watch their baseball team, the way to get them engaged with the game is to give them a way to watch it that fits their lifestyle.
Right. Well, like, even Iowa, for example, too, who don't have a baseball team, like, how are you going to attract them to the game if you can't even, if they can't even watch it?
If they can't watch the game. Like,
yeah, Iowa, Las Vegas, those both don't have, although I can totally see baseball eventually getting a Las Vegas team, but those are markets.
Also have another one blacked out.
Yeah. And those are still markets that you need to serve, and yet you're making it ridiculously hard for them to even get access to the game. So how are you growing the game if a lot of your audience can't even watch the games?
And it's not the only way.
No.
They are stifling growing the game.
Right. And, you know, like you said, Maggie, for young people who increasingly don't have cable, like, I could easily cut cable. Like, I could probably cut the cord tomorrow if it wasn't for baseball. That's, like, half the reason I keep cable around, is to have stupid Nationals games.
That's why I kept cable around for years. And the only reason I stopped it is because childcare costs rent kind of money. So it's, you know,
yeah,
it was that or eat for the month. But, like, but yeah, no, it is a make or break for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it totally is. And speaking of things that young people might be interested in that MLB is increasingly, you know, getting rid of, is they're restricting access not only to the game itself, but to minor league video and to highlights as well, major league highlights. So they forced minor league baseball, forced Baseball America to take down their minor league content, video content. And, you know, that is not getting to see the next generation of exciting prospects, the Vlad Guerrero Juniors, the Fernando Tatises, the, you know, the Juan Sotos, like, not getting to see those guys as prospects is certainly one way to not drum up interest in the game.
Like, well, for a while they were going to limit minor league teams from sharing their own team's videos, and they did walk that back after the initial announcement, but it's still, the implication is that there are going to be some pretty serious limitations on when and how they do that.
Well, and it also annoys me because they have this whole marketing campaign of let the kids play, and yet the actual kids you can't see play. Like, this is your next generation of baseball players coming through who could be very exciting, yet we have no clue if they are, if they aren't, who are these people, or should we look out for them in a couple years? I don't know. You're not, like, unless we can make money off them, we don't care. Like, just let the kids who are... who make us money play is basically what they're saying.
And there And there are so many prospect evaluators out there and, you know, prospect writers that work so hard to bring, you know, bring these reports to us of prospects. And it would be great if we could have the video content to go along with it to actually see with our eyeballs what they're telling us. And it would make their jobs a lot easier too. And they're, and it's, you know, wreaking havoc on their ability to do their job. And there are a lot of young sort of folks in college age folks who would be, you know, huge baseball fanatics and would be, you know, emerging stat heads, emerging front office hopefuls, emerging prospect writing hopefuls who would kill for this sort of content. Now they can't get it.
Like, this isn't the dark ages. Like, this isn't 1980s when the technology wasn't there. Like, I want to see Andrés Giménez. I want to see Ronnie Mauricio. I want to see who's coming up in the pipeline who could be exciting. Like, yes, I love the team where they are now, but at the same time, you know, help connect me to who these younger guys are.
Well, and what makes me scratch my head and wonder, like, who is in the marketing department there, is the way they treat this content like competition. Like, yeah. If people are watching minor league highlights, then they must not, then they're doing that instead of paying money to go to minor league games. And the comparison that I drew to kind of illustrate why this is stupid is, imagine, if you will, a pizza restaurant that decides to lobby against a recreational marijuana bill because they are worried that their customers will spend money on weed instead of pizza.
When really,
that is what MLB is doing. It's not that people won't go to minor league games if they could see minor league highlights. They will go to more minor league games. It is, like, literally a driver of their business, and they are restricting access to it for no reason.
Yep.
Like, for literally no reason.
Yep. And they, and it's not just minor league baseball, and it's not just the blackouts either. Like, MLB is extremely restrictive on use of their content. Like, the instant, I mean, there are certain people that get away with it and other people that don't, but most of the time, the instant you post a video or a GIF on Twitter of, like, a Major League Baseball game, it gets cracked down immediately. Like, that stuff gets taken down all the time. And it's really frustrating because it's like, you really care that much about somebody tweeting, like, a Bryce Harper bat flip or something? Like, are you really gonna care about that? But they do.
Well, and for a while you could not excuse it necessarily, but at least what they did do was they had a well-staffed video department, and they put together a really comprehensive website full of lots and lots and lots of good quality highlight clips that you could tap into
that were tagged and searchable.
Then they went out and they fired the vast majority of their advanced media group, which is crazy because this is the exact group that made them the tons and tons of money they've been spitting around for the last couple of years. But, like, okay, fire all of your video guys. Like, that's a great plan. And they gutted the website, and everybody who pays attention to this kind of thing has noticed that this year there are fewer and worse quality videos available. And look, that's assuming that you can even find them because you can't search them anymore.
Yes, I have a perfect example of this. I was doing my season preview for Pete Alonso, and in it, I wanted to link to the massive home run he hit against the Red Sox because it was amazing. So I go to the website. I'm like, there's no search bar. Where the search bar goes. So I thought it was me. I'm like, did my computer do something funny? Why can't
did
I find
browser?
This? Yeah, is it my browser? Should
I restart?
Yeah. Like, I just want to
offend the internet?
Yeah. Like, why do you hate me, internet? So, Like, so then eventually, a couple days later, I saw an awful announcing article saying that MLB did away with the search bar and that, oh, it was a work in progress. Like, they were going to, they're in the process of redoing it. I haven't looked recently, but I don't know if it's back.
My understanding is that it is back because I recently tried to find, so someone was asking about, I only know this because someone was asking the other day about, like, you know, the bad call on the Cano hit by pitch when the umpire said it was a swing. So somebody was asking me about it. And so I wanted to link the actual video so they could look at it for themselves. So I went into the website to try to find it and I was able to find it. So the search bar is back. However, my brief experience was that it seems to be only searchable by player now. So like I went to search Robinson Cano and it autofilled a player autofill. And then it came up with all Robinson Cano highlights. And I had to find that one specifically. So that seemed to be the method that they're using, which I guess is better than nothing. But I still want to be able to search actual words too.
But my season preview, that was a prospect that maybe not everybody was familiar with, and that's free marketing for you. That could have drummed up some excitement about this player that not everybody might not have known about, and yet now you just extremely limited my ability to market your product for free, basically.
The content is there, and at least until they decimated their video department, it was really good, and a lot of it is still really good, but they just cannot get out of their own way on this video thing. And I don't know, you fine, move the mound back 6 inches, that'll get everybody watching baseball, right? But don't let them post gifs. Oh god,
the horror. Or have the pitcher only face three batters, but Iowa still can't watch games.
Yeah, it's the lack of self-awareness is astounding. It's you know, they're so they so have their heads up their own butts about pace of play that they don't understand that there are so many people that are blacked out of any of their content. It's oh, you can only watch our content on our platform, but also you're blacked out of it, and also our platform sucks now. It's oh, cool.
Helpful. And they have the MLB Twitter hitter or something that they're trying this year, where you can watch a certain hitter every day that you can vote on beforehand. So they know people are getting their content from Twitter, but yet you can't post videos to Twitter unless they own it. You're getting free. This is what drives me crazy, is you're getting free marketing if people retweet a clip. How else are people going to be excited about your sport if they can't see it on all your different platforms?
Right. And they have the self-awareness to do the Let the Kids Play campaign, which is really good. It's a really good ad campaign. Keep doing it. But then they do stuff like this, and then they you know, when the kids are trying to play, and when Pitching Ninja tries to post awesome GIFs of all the pitchers, then they suspend his account for a while, which is a thing that happened. And he had to be hey, let me
reinstate it. McCullers had to go to bat for him.
Yeah. There were pitchers that were hey, can you bring Pitching Ninja back? He's pretty cool and actually good for baseball. Hey, help. And finally Pitching Ninja is back now and seems to be fine for now. But this is the type of stuff. It's so frustrating. They know that there's
errors.
They know that oh, we need to get young kids into the game. And then they do it wrong in every respect possible. oh, God.
You just do the opposite of what you're doing now and it'll be fine.
Right.
Manfred is listening right now and he says, I get it. So what you guys want is an 800 number you can call into and get live updates on the scores. Check.
Got it. We will send you updates by fax. Got it.
And the National League will have the DH on top of it.
That's what the kids are doing these days. Faxing each other, right?
Now I'm kind of actually curious, and I feel like maybe I would do that just for fun. just sign up for a fax update. Like one of those people who buys an 8-track just to kind of be an asshole. I feel like I could be that with the MLB faxes. Sure, why not?
Yo, MLB faxes. I'm into it.
MLB fax. No, yeah, I need to workshop that one.
Yeah. All right, we're trademarking that for future use, though, just in case. Pitch fax. Okay, that's the thing. Anyway, we will now finish our show. Well, not quite finish. We have one surprise for you at the end. But almost wrap up our show, the penultimate segment. We will have walk-off wins, which we do every week, where each of us talks about what's making us happy this week. So, Linda, what is your walk-off win for this week?
My walk-off win for this week is the beautiful spring weather that we've finally been having, because the past few years, I feel like it's gone from winter right into summer, which I like spring. I like fall. I like when you can go outside with just a light jacket, or, you know, you can sleep with the windows open and it's not humid and it's not muggy. Like, this is perfect baseball weather. Like, this is what I picture when I go to Citi Field. And like in Miss Congeniality, they said the perfect date was April 25th because it's not too hot and it's not too cold. All you need is a light jacket. And if some of you are listening to this on April 25th, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Happy Miss Congeniality Day to some of you.
Yeah. So in the future, even since we're recording this on the 23rd, on the 25th, yes, happy Miss Congeniality Day. So then plus it just puts you in a good mood. It's sunny. The birds are chirping. You smell the flowers. I'm a very big spring person. I might get in trouble by saying I don't really like summer that much because it's too hot. But yes, this warm weather is making me very happy right now.
I walked to work and it was great. I was wearing a t-shirt and jeans and I was very comfortable. It was
amazing. I took a walk this afternoon just because I could.
Yeah, just to do it. It's fun. And right. Please don't go away, spring. Don't rush summer. I'm fine. I'm very happy right now.
Maggie, what is your walk-off win for this week?
My walk-off win is Michael Conforto looking healthy and killing it. He got another two hits tonight, I see.
Yeah,
but,
he did.
He's my son's favorite player. So exciting in 2017, and his arm freaking popped out of the socket mid-swing in like a freak crazy injury, and for him to come back from that last year was amazing, but then it was also kind of frustrating that he didn't really start to get in the groove until later in the season, which, like, you can kind of understand because his arm popped out of the socket, like, and just like tore out of the socket. It's the craziest thing. But so to have him this season just absolutely killing it, it's just so much fun to see. He has a beautiful swing. He's a great athlete. I have a piece that should be, by the time this podcast drops, imminently or already posted on Amazing Avenue about just how good his game is in every way, and it's just, he's such a pleasure to watch. We are very lucky to have him.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Amen. Love me some Scooter. And a lot of people said before this season that he was primed for a breakout. A lot of people were talking about it on Amazing Avenue and elsewhere. And it's good that all of us that were, you know, excited and anticipating and noticing a lot of these trends in his data at the end of last season were anticipating a big year from him. It's good to see that pay dividends so far for him. I'm really excited. I think he's going to have a super good year if trends continue, ..
You will find in my post on Amazing Avenue that there are no red flags for aggression, so.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Scoot, scoot. Keep on scooting. That's what I say. So my walk-off win for this week is the fact that recently The Athletic announced that they will be carrying expanded women's soccer coverage. I am so pumped about that. So for those of you that don't know, I'm obviously, baseball is my primary sport and the Mets are my primary team. But the only other sport I even care like remotely about is soccer, and specifically women's soccer. So that's the sport I actually play. I never really played. I played one season of softball and I was terrible and I quit very early on. So I am not a ball player from the baseball softball perspective. But I have been a soccer player my entire life from age 4 until currently where I still play. So I'm a big soccer fan as well, mostly women's soccer. I dabble a little bit in men's soccer, but only really international. Like, I get really hyped about the World Cup and stuff and the Olympics and everything like that, but that's really all I care about. But women's soccer I really love, and so The Athletic recently announced that they're expanding their women's soccer coverage, and it's really exciting to see. And like, the SB Nation recently got its own women's soccer site as well, a sister site of Amazing Avenue, one of the many SB Nation team sites. So it's just really exciting to see women's soccer finally get its due. I mean, I know that it's always had its like niche circle of like cult following respect amongst the fans of women's soccer ever since the 99 World Cup where the women won. Those were my heroes growing up. I have a Mia Hamm jersey. Like, those are the women I idolized. And it's really great to see, you know, the coverage expanding for The Athletic and it finally getting its due. I am so pumped for the upcoming Women's World Cup this summer. So I don't know if you're familiar with women's soccer, but the U.S. won the World Cup last time around in 2015, which was like, it was July 2015. So it was basically the best sports month of my entire life. Like, looking back on that month, like, I think about how, like, happy I was, and it's probably just like concentrated within a month of my life the happiest I've ever been, just because the women won the World Cup in early July 2015, and then late July 2015 is when all the crazy Mets stuff happened that ultimately culminated in their run toward getting to the World Series. So it was just a really, really fun year for me, and if 2019 unfolds similarly, that would be so cool. So I'm really pumped that not only that the women's World Cup is coming, but that there's going to be so much coverage and high quality coverage of it. So that's my walk-off win for this week, is really pumped about the Women's World Cup. Love watching women's soccer. Really excited that the World Cup is coming back around again. Hope that the U.S. can defend their World Cup title. So that is my walk-off win for this week. Finally, to wrap up the show this week, we have another giveaway. Hooray! We had one. Yay! The very first show. And we have another one. So Maggie, why don't you tell everyone about what the giveaway is this week?
So I'm really excited about this one, and I think you will be too. We have a Jacob deGrom Cy Young bobblehead, fresh in the packaging, untouched by human hands. And so we are asking you guys, our loyal listeners, to do us a solid with this one. So we are asking for your help in writing a review for us on iTunes. This will really help out the show a lot. It gets us more attention. It gets us boosted up in the iTunes ratings. So if you write us a review, what you then do is tweet us a screen cap of the review and follow us on Twitter, and you will automatically be entered to win this amazing Jacob deGrom Cy Young bobblehead. I will also tweet these instructions because I realize most of you did not necessarily grab a pen. But basically, go to iTunes, leave us a review, tweet us a photo of that review, and you will be under consideration for the random selection of amazing bobblehead. So,
fantastic. And we'll probably retweet some of the good ones too.
Yes, we will definitely. Anything with puns, we are big on puns.
Creativity is welcome. Yes.
And yeah, and keep in mind that when you go to write your iTunes review, all of the Amazing Avenue podcasts are under one subscription, one umbrella, Amazing Avenue Audio. So go to Amazing Avenue Audio, and that's where you'll be able to write your review. And if you have thoughts on the other shows as well, we are happy to hear those too.
Which you should, because they're wonderful shows.
Right. Yes. You should have thoughts on the other shows because we've worked really, really hard to expand our podcast content for this season for you guys. And we're really, really proud of what our fellow Amazing Avenue folks have been able to put together with their shows. Chris and Brian still have their show going strong. We have the Minor League podcast from Complex to Queens, which is fantastic. I learn like pretty much everything I need to know about Mets prospects from them. And that keeps me updated because I am not the best at keeping updated on Mets prospects, but they make sure I do every week. And we have Rob Wolf doing Unformidable every week about a long forgotten Met, and those short forays into Mets history are always really nice and nostalgic, and it feels like a warm hug. So all of the shows are just so fantastic, and you guys should check those out too. So leave us a review on iTunes at Amazing Avenue Audio and follow us on Twitter, and you will be automatically entered to win a fantastic Jacob deGrom bobblehead. So that is this week's A Pod of Their Own. Tune in next week, and we will be in your podcast feeds once again next Wednesday. Let's go Mets, and don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form the Shutdown Fullcast.
Voltron!
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
bears and video games,
Pittsburgh Batman,
the hell of being trapped in a group text,
unreliable legal advice.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Like the time Arkansas decided to use a captured feral hog as a mascot, and it escaped, and it wound up killing 7 rattlesnakes, a pig, and a coyote.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.
Unless it is.
Damn it.